Okay, so last week we did the seven seals. And the seventh seal is actually what ushers in the seven trumpets. So when he opened that seventh seal, that was where the half hour of silence was in heaven. And it is anticipation, dread. It's a dread almost of what they are able to see. And they are, so they're in silence, and then the seventh trumpets start to sound. That actually takes place in Revelation chapter 8. So if you go to Revelation chapter 8, verse 7.
The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up.
Okay, so there's always a debate on what this means, but I'm telling you now, it's actually we lose a third of the trees and all of the grass. So all the grass will burn up, like it does every August, it seems like, around here. Doesn't mean it'll be a fire, it just means that it will wither and die. But there is something that happens to the trees that will kill a third of the trees. So one of the things they need to be looking for is something that kills a third of the trees and all the grass. It could be a drought. What's that?
Could be it.
We're not sure. The Bible doesn't really clarify exactly what it is that does that. Huh?
When a large comet or meteorite, before it gets to the earth, it burns the atmosphere, which burns the trees and grass, so that's before it hits.
There you go.
And then it goes into the water. And then, how does the water do better? All the stuff coming up and washes up.
Well, very possible, except that it affects the springs. Springs. Number three is rivers and streams, but I think the Bible actually says springs. All freshwater, so it affects all salt water, then it affects all freshwater. That's what it does. So it becomes, but you could be right, because there is a comet involved in this. Yeah, so I'm thinking it would, I could see that when it hit the ocean, that it would affect shipping. Because it's going to cause some tsunamis to go around.
A comet made of ice.
A what?
A comet made of ice.
A what, Ken?
A comet made of ice.
Oh, made of ice. A comet made of ice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Within
that one of the effect. Yeah. The Bible isn't clear on why it's not, why it doesn't. It just doesn't tell us, but it. Now, there is that other thing that sometimes people think this is just a way of saying something in secret. Let me see. So, because grass is a symbol of man and tree is a symbol of the pride of man. But I think John would have explained that a little clearer. That would have been an easy thing to explain. He wouldn't have had to use allegory like that. So I believe you're going to see a third of all trees and all of the grass burned up somehow.
So, nuclear war.
Now, nuclear war would contaminate all the water everywhere. You know what I mean? It would get fresh water and salt water. But it says only a third of it's affected. So I'm still not sure exactly where we're at. That's why I don't think I would make a claim that there is a meteor or a nuclear warhead or anything, because if that's wrong, that's going to cast doubt. And since the Bible doesn't clearly tell us, we shouldn't try to. It's okay to discuss in a Bible study, but if you're leaving it for somebody who didn't believe, they can hang their hat on the fact that you are wrong. So you don't want to write that down necessarily. But that is the first trumpet. Then you get into the second trumpet, which is Revelation 8:8-9.
And the second angel sounded, and as it was as it were, a great mountain burning with fire, was cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea became blood. And a third part of the creatures that were in the sea and had life died, and a third part of the ships were destroyed.
Okay, so again, we're losing one third. The thing is, it has something like a mountain. Something like a mountain. That's a little different. What would be something like a mountain?
Well, where are you at?
800. Back to. Well, now this could be a comet, but there's a comet in the next one also. This could be something crashes into the ocean, which would cause tsunamis, which would destroy a third of the ships, a third of the ocean life. Could it be a volcano? A volcano, but well, when you read this, let's look at it again here. Let me see. Something is thrown into the sea. Thrown into the sea. Yeah. An undersea volcano would cause the same type of disruption too. But again, it doesn't tell us. They do. They do. But I mean, it would take an awful lot of a volcano explosion to destroy a third of the living things in this.
Depending on how much it's too time to play, plate shifts and opens a fissure in the earth.
Like if one of the meteorite hits a caldera, that would cause both a volcanic
and
a
meteorite. It could. Yeah. I don't know for sure. I did hear, I don't know if this is true, but supposedly the tectonic plates in Africa are separating right now. Has anybody seen anything on that?
What? No, but the Pacific Rim is really shifting.
They said there's a crack now in Africa somewhere. I don't remember where it was, but it's actually starting to show itself.
Where the plates coming in?
The tectonic plates are moving now. Oh. Which could open up a tectonic plate, and that could create all kinds of havoc. I don't know, so once again, you can't say it's a volcano, a tectonic plate, it's a meteor. You just can't say. You just say, look for an event that will destroy one-third of the ship and one-third of the fishes of the sea. Everything that lives in the sea, one-third of them is going to die. And I wouldn't say anything further than an event. The event is, that way, they can't argue and say, oh, well, they said it was a volcano and it actually turned out to be a meteor. Or it was a meteor and it actually turned out to be a tectonic plate shift. Since we don't know, we don't know. So, the next one is Revelation 8, 10, and 11. This is the third.
The third angel sounded and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of the water. The name of the star is called Wormwood. And a third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from these waters because they were made bitter.
All right, so actually there is a meteor named Wormwood right now. How far away is it, Mike? Have you ever looked into that? There is one that NASA decided to name Wormwood for some reason. Some reason, not sure why. I don't remember. You probably look it up on your phone and see. So, this will be a meteor. So you could say that a meteor is going to hit and it's going to do damage. And you're going to lose a third of the fresh water at this point.
Does wormwood just translate to lava enough, which is a meteor?
But there you go. So this is a meteor that we know because it says it is. The Bible says it is. That's all there is to it. It's a great star falling from heaven. Meteors are stars falling out of heaven quite often, so they don't all burn up before they get here. And that's going to do the fresh water. So that tells us it probably doesn't land in the middle of the ocean. It probably lands in the middle of a landmass. and it destroys fresh water for a continent, probably. So that's probably, it's not going to land in Africa. Because they don't have a third of the world's fresh water, but I would say America probably does, Europe probably does. So one of the, those two could be hit. It could possibly be Europe, because that's probably where the Antichrist is set up at. Could be. The Roman Empire, the old Roman Empire. I don't know. It doesn't mean a third of the water, everybody loses a third of their water. It means some areas probably going to lose 100% of their water, and other areas not going to lose any water. But just need to say there's going to be a meteor that destroys a third of fresh water. And people will die because they'll drink the water anyway. Have you ever been told not to drink water and all you think about is having a drink all of a sudden? So, it's always a little rough. The next one is verse 12. Okay, so God created the luminaries in the sky, and now he's going to dim them. He's going to dim them somehow. They're going to lose a third of their power, a third of their light. Think of what that is going to do.
So it's just a third.
Right. Think of what this is going to do. It's going to make days seem like twilight. And since the moon reflects the sun, it automatically is going to be a third darker. But it's also going to affect stars. The sun is a star. It's just a close star. So whatever happens here, like I say, you could tie these things to, if this meteor put a bunch of dust and debris in the air, or if a volcano did, we all know what happened when major volcanoes go off. It will dim the day. Mount St. Helens dimmed the day. If you remember when Mount St. Helens erupted, it dimmed the day. It covered so much of the earth with ash. So
wildfires.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it did the same thing. You're right. Yeah, so not knowing for sure what it really is, but they just need to be aware that things are going to be a third darker.
Yeah, the trees burning, the comet
hitting. Yeah, it's all going to put debris in the atmosphere that could very well limit. These things do follow a logical order at the beginning, because you start out with war, famine, inflation, all those things kind of follow each other. Once one starts, a war-torn area becomes very expensive and people start starving to death. Same thing going on here. You're going to see conditions get to the point where people are going to be hungry. Because there's not going to be enough light now to produce enough crop. The good news is the church won't be here, so that's less people. You also, not that it's good news that people are dying, but, you know, the population's being narrowed down pretty quick. So it's not going to be like trying to feed 7 billion of us. You know, it won't have the same problem because of the size. Size will be smaller, but it's still going to be a major issue. Plus, when all of this is going on, what do you all think is happening in society? What's happening? Yeah. Yeah, every man for themselves. I mean, are there really going to be people going to work to produce a corn crop? Probably not. I mean, there's going to be people stealing your corn crop, but there's probably not going to be workers making it, you know, harvesting it or whatever else farmers are putting. Yeah. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of panic going on Earth. That's just scary. It very well could. Very well, good. It's going to be a very bad time, I will tell you that. And that's why it's so important that people who are left behind know how to get out of this mess for eternity. Not much we can do for them to get them out of the mess they're in, except they'll eventually die or they'll live through it. But they have 7 years of really bad coming at them. And it just continually gets worse as it goes. There's a chance, yeah, because people throughout the book of Revelation, people show up in heaven who have been killed. And the only ones showing up in heaven are those who got saved and were killed. The non-believers get killed. They don't show up in heaven. They still would go to Hades at this point, or Sheol, depending on what you want to call it. But then that's where they're going to go. So people are dying. People are arriving into the afterlife and winding up in eternity on one side or the other the whole time. How quick?
One more.
Yeah. Well, everything we've talked about so far happens in the first 3.5 years. Mm-hmm. All the trumpets are in the first half. The seals are definitely first half. That's where it starts. But all the way up through the trumpets is the first 3.5 years. So you're losing population all over the place. You know, even if you get saved, there's a chance you could starve to death. You know, just because you're saved doesn't mean God's going to send manna to you. He's not going to. You're suffering consequences of a poor choice, which was to get saved later rather than earlier. And so you could die from, you could be hit by the meteor. You could be in the ocean. You could be on one of the ships. Doesn't matter. When good and bad will both die at this time. The good news is if what we've left behind works on those that were left behind, it won't be as many going the wrong direction. Well, like I say, that's the whole purpose of this, is hoping you can reach them through being able to tell them what to watch for, what's coming up, and that the Bible is what told you this. God's Word is what told you this was going to happen. This is not, you're not Gene Dixon. You are actually just a Christian who read the book of Revelation. And they can go read the book also, and they can see. The one-third of darkness, there is a belief that it only affects the Antichrist kingdom. The rest of the world is not affected by it, but he controls one-third. So they believe that maybe he goes completely dark, and the basis for that is Egypt. When that darkness, one of the plagues was darkness, was so dark you could feel the darkness. That's pretty dark. But it only affected the Egyptians. It affected Israelites. Israelites had light. So there's a, can't say for sure, the Bible doesn't clarify if it's one third spread out across the globe or if it's just one third of the globe is affected. It doesn't tell us. So it could be either way, but they just have to understand that a third is going to be, it's going to lose power by a third, whether it's a third overall or one third of the earth. It's going to lose. So it's one of the things to keep in mind. Let me see. The very next one. Okay. This is Revelation 9:5. So if somebody wants to jump up to Revelation 9:5.
To them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man.
So this bottomless pit will be opened. Now, John has a very vivid description of these people that come out of here. They have hair like a woman and look like a locust, and he's doing his best to describe something. We're not sure what he's describing. We do know that what's in this pit are demons. Fallen angels are going to come out of this pit. How they go about doing what they do, we're not exactly sure what they're going to look like. We have John's description, which he could be describing a piece of modern warfare equipment. He could be. It could be. It very well, that, I mean, you could compare, if you've never seen an Apache helicopter and you had to describe it to somebody who understood what a locust was, you could say, hey, looks like a locust. They swarm. They come in. It could be drones. Because they've now figured out how to swarm drones. One drone controls them all. They all swarm like birds do. One flies right, they all fly right. We don't know for sure what this is, but we do know that in this pit are demons. So if these demons actually go out and do stuff, or if they possess people and make them do stuff, we're not sure how this is going to happen. But there's going to be a torment, like a sting of a scorpion.
So is this the Antichrist army?
No, this is not his army yet. He builds an army, but it's not for 1,000 years yet.
Not for 1,000 years?
Yeah, because it'll be Satan's army at that point. These are the first inhabitants of this abyss, according to the Bible. I mean, the first one we have referenced in the Bible doesn't mean they hadn't been there before, are the Nephilim. Not the Nephilim, but the angels who fell. They were banished to the abyss. That's where they've been banished to. So they've been locked up for about 5,000 years right now. They're not going to be very happy when they get back out. They've been put on the bench for this ball game, and they're coming out in the last inning, and they're going to try to wreak as much havoc as they can because they're mad. When Jesus faced the man that was Legion, the man who came out of the tombs, and he said his name was Legion, for we are many, they said, don't banish us, let us go into the swine, the pigs. That's because if Jesus had banished them, they would have wound up in this pit. And Jesus, our best understanding is to wind up in that pit, you have to have stood in direct defiance of God. Not sin. Sin is defiance of God, but you have to do something directly to God in the midst of spiritual warfare. It can't be us. You know, our sin is defiance of God, but we are not fighting God. We are not in a spiritual war with God. We sometimes flop sides, but that's not us. So those demons who came to earth and mated with women and made the renowned men of old, which is probably where you do get the legend of things like Thor, half God, half man, all those Greek mythology things probably come from real people who lived at one time. The giants that came. I think it's interesting that we are seeing more and more evidence around the world of people 9 to 12 foot tall. Mm-hmm. It seems like they're everywhere they go, they're suddenly unearthing these bones. These people lived at one point. Or 6 foot 8. Yeah. So we know these people exist. They were in direct defiance of God. They left their domain, is what it says in Jude. They left their domain, and God didn't spare them for that. They were sent off to the abyss. Probably any demon that was cast out by Jesus while he walked the earth actually stood face to face with God in Jesus' form, though. When he would cast them out, that's probably where they went. A demon that is cast out by Paul, or even one of you all, if you all ever cast it, you know, if you ever get the opportunity, they might go to the exact same place because they stood in defiance. And I don't have the power to cast out a demon. God does. And God can give me an opportunity to share in that power to cast a demon out of somebody. But I don't have that power. So demons are only cast out by God. And just for the record, not by Catholic priests. Catholic priests could do it the same as any one of us could do it. There's nothing special about being a priest that gives you ability to cast out demons, and I don't care what they say. That's not a special power. But again, so see, technically that demon is stood in defiance of God because the power that casts him out is God's power, not mine. Demons who pick on me, there's nothing to that. I don't have the power to send him to the abyss. I can resist temptation, I can quote scripture, I can do all that stuff, demons who are badgering us don't get cast in the abyss, only those who have stood in direct defiance of God. So I would say there's a good chance any demon ever cast out probably wound up in the abyss too. Not yet. It's coming up.
No, why was he?
Why was he?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he wanted to be higher than God. He said, I can be a better God than you. Isaiah records the five I wills of Satan. I'll be better than you. I'll build my throne higher than yours. I can't remember what the five I wills were, but it was all about being better than God.
Pride.
Yeah, it was all based in pride. But he lost his position. He never lost access to heaven. Still has not lost access to heaven.
Now, the third that went down with him, did they go to the pit or in the earth?
No, they were given domain of the earth.
Because in this, some of the Dead Sea Scrolls, mm-hmm. an earlier group of angels were cast down, led by Azazel. And one was the one that gave man the gift of war.
I don't know. That's not biblical, though. The Dead Sea Scrolls are not biblical, so. You got to remember, Satan also had tons of time to rewrite any biblical story he wanted to. And he did. And that's why one of the greatest things he ever accomplished is making sure that every civilization has a flood story. Now, there's a reason they all have a flood story. Because the entire population of the world is narrowed to one family. So, all of them have ancestors that lived through the flood. Everybody came through Noah and his wife and their kids. But Satan made sure they put in their own flood story to explain away the Bible's flood story. So now you can say, oh, everybody had a flood story. It was just something they think about. Or the flood was only localized. It wasn't really a worldwide flood. It was just a bad flood in one area. Satan had the time to do that, and he knew enough to water down that message as much as he could. So, that's pretty rough when you think about it. So, people who... Shem was alive when he built the Tower of Babel. Noah's son was alive when he built the Tower of Babel. That was two generations away from Noah that they would actually have given up and decided they could elect a man who could beat God up. This is how quick Satan operates. But Satan was tossed, he lost his position in heaven, and he took a third of the angels with him. But he is not kicked out of heaven till the midway point coming up here shortly. So you got whatever this is comes out and it torments people for 5 months. So the key here is people are tormented by 5 months, and the Bible says they cannot die. People will want to die, but they will not be allowed to die. So I would say, something's going to happen. And it says right here, for 5 months, something is going to be...
Because not sealed or saved.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. It's only going to be picking on the people who are not saved.
Right.
The seal, okay, so in 7, chapter 7 is the 144,000 that are sealed. We believe, and we only believe it, it's not that it's clear, that all believers are sealed at that point. And then as you become a believer after that, you will have that same seal. So, Tim LaHaye in his Left Behind series says he thinks other believers will be able to see the seal. Non-believers will not, but all believers will be able to recognize each other because we'll be able to see the seal. That's very possible. 144,000, 12,000 from each tribe of Israel are sent out. They're sealed. They're sent out to evangelize. They're killed. By the way, 144,000 died probably before this. They do their job to evangelize the whole world. They're taken out of the game because they're standing in heaven.
Israel.
What's that?
Are they from Israel?
They are. 12,000 from each tribe. 12,000 from each tribe are out there. But there's other believers that are sealed at the same time, and you can't have... If you are sealed, whatever this is that's plaguing people will not bother you. Again, it's the same thing that happened in Egypt. Everything that happened to the Israelites, or the Egyptians, did not happen to the Israelites. So when the locusts came through, when the flies came through, and their water turned to blood, none of that affected the Israelites.
The Passover
is the big one that did not affect them. So, if you are a believer at this point, you will not be bothered by this. So that might be a point you want to point out. Say, you know, those who don't believe are going to be affected by this. This is the only one that excludes the saved. So if you're saved and on a ship when a third of the ships are destroyed, sorry, you were on the ship and it was destroyed. So then you have this last one. Well, it's not the last, it's actually the sixth trumpet, but it is in Revelation 9:18, These are one of the biggest questions probably in the book of Revelation is, who are these people? It's the four angels of the Euphrates are loosed. And the four angels that are bound in the Euphrates are loosed. Don't know exactly who those are, but they're going to come. They're going to come out, and they are going to start killing people. Let me see. Let me see. Jump ahead here. All right. So this actually starts in verse 13, but. The voice said, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So this area is a pretty important area for Satan, because it was the location of the Garden of Eden is right in this area. Cain killed Abel here is where Nimrod decided to build the Tower of Babel. These four angels have been bound a long time. Now, the only thing they think is that these four angels played a significant role in the early sin of mankind. So they were bound. So they couldn't do anything. They are loosed at this point. If you drop down to verse 18, it says, by these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed. By the fire, the smoke, and the brimstone. So again, we're not sure exactly what John is describing, but it might be a demonic army, or it might be John describing modern-day warfare. Again, we're not sure exactly how these four bound angels that are loose accomplish their goal, but they do. So again, you're going to lose a third of mankind. And that's how that all fits together. So those are the steps to keep in mind. Did everybody get the blank filled in the way they wanted to? You've got to get the last one yet. So then the seventh bowl is like the seventh seal. It ushers in the next seven. So if you were watching this happen, they opened the seven seals. Every time they open a seal, something happens. When they open the seventh seal, that's when the word comes out, there are seven trumpets. When they go through the trumpets, they get to the seventh trumpet, that's when the word comes out, there are seven vials, seven bowls. The seven bowls, they're God's judgment and wrath. Notice how, let me look it up real quick. I didn't print that page. Probably will tell us. Okay, it's actually the end of 9. The end of chapter 9. After all those people have died on the sixth trumpet, it says, in verse 20, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the work of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and the wood which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders nor of their sorceries nor of their fornication nor of their thefts. So the men who were not killed by this, they dig their heels in. They decide they're going to continue in their sinful ways. That was the last call. The seals and the trumpets are Jesus Christ's last warnings. Now we are getting into God's judgment. God, at this point, is going to start judging the world.
I love this hypothesis. This first one through seven, this sounds very similar to the Exodus.
Well, it does. The Exodus was a sign of some of the stuff that's going to happen.
So, why not have Christians look through this Exodus at the end of seven, That's what I'm saying.
Because I would go with that. That is the second most logical argument about the time of the rapture. When is the time of the rapture? That's the second most common time. The problem is Revelation 4:1. Revelation 4:1, John is transported to heaven, and he sees people throwing their crowns at Jesus' feet. Wow, training. They hear, or they... He sees what happens after the Bema Seat judgment. So the rapture happens, the believers are taken away, and then they get into the Bema Seat judgment where we are rewarded for our works. That's where our works are tried, and those that turn out to be true are okay. And we get rewards for that.
What are the crowns there for?
Five crowns. One of them is the crown of life, the crown of witnessing. Do you have it in your stuff? I have it in my office. I can pull it up for sure. There's five different crowns we will receive. So John sees people with the crowns. We know we only get the crowns at the Bema Seat, which happens after the rapture. We also know that a spirit, because you exist in spirit form until the rapture, if you died... For all those that already died, they're in spirit form. They don't have a body until the rapture happens. Then their dead body rises, and the Bible says first, we are taken also, and our bodies are changed into incorruptible bodies. And that's when you receive your eternal body. So if it wasn't for Revelation 4:1 and the following verses right there, this would be... The second best argument would be Israel was protected through their time of trouble. Christians were protected through this time. But we're already in heaven. That's what chapter 4 proves. We're already in heaven.
And also, 1 Thessalonians 5:9-6. For God has not destined us for wrath. That's the church.
Right.
He's talking to the church there. So we're going to be fair. It doesn't mean we're not going to go through hard times, because I believe we really will be here soon. But we will be taken out before this wrath, because it's going to be a whole lot different than a little bit of trial.
Right, but see, along that line, God's wrath starts at the middle of the tribulation. His judgment and wrath, the vials represent his wrath, the bowls. So... You can still even take that verse and say, see, we're not here for the wrath. We're not here for the last half. We believe we're not here for it. We believe we're going, we don't see any of the tribulation. We could possibly see the sign of the treaty, but I believe that chaos is caused by the rapture. So we probably won't. But we won't be there for the breaking of the first seal. We'll be in heaven watching the first seal broke. That's where we'll be. So, because this now turns to wrath. Before, it's warnings. Jesus' warnings to get it right. At the end of the last trumpet, it said the people dug their heels in and refused to repent. God said, all right, time's up. Now it's time to start the next phase of this thing. And that's what they're going to do. So, we'll look at how those bowls and vials look. Like I say, this is not a true study of Revelation. This is just a timeline of events for the people on earth only. They won't see the part of Revelation that we'll see, because we'll be in heaven watching from the heaven side. I think one of the greatest examples of the difference in the two areas is there's the sea in front of the throne of God is calm as glass. And the earth is in pure turmoil and chaos, and people are dying, and people don't understand what's going on, and all kinds of natural disasters are happening, and God's given war, or Jesus has given up the final warnings to come to him. It does, but it also represents the calmness of heaven. It does, because otherwise, now you'll see this sea change, that sea of glass changes a little bit coming up. If we were studying the book of Revelation, we'd look at where the sea changed. Yeah. Yeah. God's fury. changes it. So, but anyway, we're not really studying the book of Revelation. We are just studying what the people on earth are going to see. So we have a chronological set of events that they need to be watching for. And they need to understand that, you know, if you don't believe what you've seen so far, this is what you're going to start seeing. And this is a timeline strictly from God's word.
Now, years ago, I heard that the seal will actually be a mark.
Well, so the mark of the beast is an actual mark. Well, the seal will not be something that can be seen by non-believers, is what Tim LaHaye says. I don't know exactly what it'll be, because the Bible doesn't really say that, but it would make sense.
How do you differentiate between the two?
Well, Satan will be the number of man, which is 666. Some people believe it could be a barcode. My personal belief is it's going to be a very pretty tattoo that people want. A very pretty tattoo, because tattoos have grown so much in popularity for some reason. You know, I don't know why they come out that way, but they do. And in the Old Testament, it does, because you look like the heathen. But you look at how places change over time. They go from having stores and restaurants to having pawn shops and tattoo parlors. Yeah, I mean, you can just see it's a downward slide. So I'm going to say the first thing they're going to do is they're going to say, well, you like to have this nice, pretty tattoo. We'll give you this tattoo as long as you pledge allegiance to somebody. Yeah, it'll be something that'll track you. It'll probably have a chip embedded in it somewhere that will allow you to be tracked. I don't know. Could be. It could be. That hasn't happened yet, though. In our timeline, where we are in our timeline, the mark has not happened yet. The mark happens in the last 3.5 years.
I've been talking with the Democrats how to carry around Social Security card would you get tattooed.
Well, it would keep me from losing it. Keep me from having to go back to Social Security and ask them for one. But no, you do not accidentally take the mark, just so you know. You know you're pledging allegiance to the wrong side when you take that mark. And once you take it, you are sealed on that. You're not sealed by God, but your fate is sealed.
You can't buy yourself.
Hmm?
You can't buy yourself without.
That's right. And that's why a lot of people are going to say, oh, what's the big deal? I don't do it. I get sick and tired of people telling me, I don't care if the government listens to me, because I don't say anything. It's going to get me in trouble. That's not the point. The point is, the government doesn't have the right to listen to you. You know, people will do, we give away our freedom all the time for the sake of convenience. And if you don't believe me, if you don't have a phone, I will say you did not give up your freedom for the sake of convenience. Your privacy. If you have a phone, you gave it up already. To a degree. And this will, they'll just keep pushing for more and more and more control of that information. By the way, I just saw an article, Blackstone bought Ancestry.com. Blackstone is a very corrupt corporation that owns most of the media, most of everything. They now have access to the millions of people who sent their DNA in. They now own the DNA records of all those people. Look that up. Search that out. Blackstone bought the Ancestry.com.
What that means.
But it can't be anything good, I tell you that. They're not going to use that information for relevant purposes.
That means they'll be able to track their descendants of David and that kind of also there.
Good. They're very well good. Yeah. So,
because the last descendant of David was, they know him, was about 100 to 200 years ago in the area of Boston.
Well, it's something to think about. I mean, we have all the pieces being aligned. You know, they capture, they're using facial recognition all the time now. Anyway, your phone, you can unlock your phone with your face. That means they use facial recognition But even if you don't give them permission to do that, I did see a video where your phone is taking a picture every 5 seconds. And it's infrared. So if you put an infrared camera on it, you'll actually see your phone flashing every 5 seconds.
No, that chew before the Messiah.
What's that?
The chew before the Messiah. Or like the, it's coming, who are they?
The two witnesses?
Yeah.
Don't know for sure, but it's definitely Elijah. But it could be Enoch or it could be Moses. Enoch didn't die according to the Bible, and every man has to die, and those two witnesses are killed. Elijah didn't die. Moses and Elijah were at the Mount of Transfiguration. So they think maybe it might be those two. They don't know for sure. But Elijah's probably definitely one of them. The other one's up for grabs between Enoch and Moses. And that could be part of the reason why Satan wanted Moses' body. And God had to take Moses' body and bury it, and not tell anybody where he buried it. Or it could have been just because Moses wanted to, or Satan wanted a shrine to Moses. We talked about that before, but I can't remember. We know who his dad was. I can't remember. I have to look it up. Anybody else have anything they want to add before I stop this recording?